Hi, I'm Ginger. I'm the channel for Galexis, and welcome to the seminar with Galexis, Manifestation Made Easy. And I hope you enjoy this. We're going to have another seminar in the near future. The next one's going to be June the 23rd. And that's going to be on working with your guides, your higher self, your guides, your spiritual team. And I'm sure you'll want to, explore that and experience that. So I'm going to get out of the way. And Galexis has a seminar for you. So, so enjoy. And I hope you enjoy Manifestation Made Easy. Thanks. All right, we are here, we are Galexis, and welcome. Today we speak about manifestation. Manifestation made easy. Now, you were born to manifest. You came from greater dimensions, downstepped your energy, concentrated yourself into a smaller and less conscious part of yourself to be able to function on the physical plane. And you did this because you thought this would be a fabulous adventure. You wanted to experience time and space. You wanted to be able to create from scratch. You wanted to learn how to really manifest in a very interesting, integrous way, so you forgot who you were, so that you could learn, so that you could discover, so that you could play, so that you could have an adventure. You wanted to go beyond what already was. You wanted to do something new. And here you are. Here you are on the physical plane. Now, some of you may think, what the heck am I doing here? Why do I have to suffer so much? Well, in your process of learning how to create a reality that suits you, how to put together a life that is intriguing and interesting, and how to reconnect with who you are and express that in your manifestations, being a child of the divine, being a creator yourself, you decided you wanted to explore every possibility. So you explored pain as well as joy. You experienced the lows as well as the highs. And then you got a little over-focused on the lows. So part of your concern in the physical plane is getting stuck in the lows. And so we would like to suggest that the lows are here as part of your original choice to experience all possibility. But also, the lows tend to be life awakeners. If you keep experiencing lows in your life, if you keep experiencing pain and suffering in your life, then you are using it to goad yourself, to trigger yourself, to figure out how to have more joy, how to move beyond that. You have essentially a nature of desire. It's a part of your gift as a physical form. Is your desire for more, is desire for something better. And so the pain and the suffering is meant not to be so long and drawn out and painful and crazy, but as a trigger for you to say, oh, this is feedback. Let me see what I can do from my perspective as a reality creator to make my life better. At some point, you began to become more conscious and aware that you actually are a co-creator with the divine in your life. Yes, the divine set this up for you, and you are made of the same substance as that of the divine. But you're waking up, and particularly those of you waking up here in this lifetime. Many of you have already awakened in other lifetimes, and you're using this lifetime as your leverage, as your springboard of learning how to manifest consciously as the light beings that you really are, so that you can be, in a sense, done, wrapped up with the whole birth and death suffering cycle, for you to be able to manifest beyond this lifetime, moving back into the grander planes of existence in your return journey to the One. And what does it require? It requires that you do what is actually natural for you, i.e., manifest. Manifestation is what you came to do. Manifestation is what you're doing this very instant. Manifestation is what you are doing continuously, and your manifestation process creates impact in your life. You get the feedback, you get emotion, you get thoughts and emotions and discoveries of yourself and how you respond and who you are and how you others see you and how to interact with your world. And you also see the materialization of your beliefs and of your imagination. Now, you've not been doing it so consciously. Maybe you've taken courses in manifestation, read books on manifestation, worked with various techniques. We don't pretend to say that what we're going to offer you today is the end all and be all. But what we've realized is that manifestation is so, so complex. Look at all the factors that you're creating. Look at all the pieces that you take for granted because you're in a flow. You've got to create a new reality, or if you wish to create a better and more fun reality, then you've got to be able to take all these pieces and put them together, this complexity, and put it together into a new reality form and manifest that. Now, we're talking about manifestation made easy. We did not say at all that it was simple. There are too many systems out there where they give you basic stuff, simple stuff, and 1, 2, 3, okay, you go. All you got to do is work hard and focus on your goal. Or, you know, you need to, you know, anchor into that new energy and claim it so that the law of attraction works for you. You need to do this ritual or that. Well, you know it's not simple because your life is complex. Look at how complex it is. You know, look at all the details. Look at all the things you own and the upkeep of them. Look at what you have to do to bring in income and how you pay for your rent or mortgage, your car, your repairs, your food, You're figuring out your diet, your friends, your social friends, your family, all those relationships, sorting through them, interacting with people, going places, doing things, attending a play or a movie, or it takes a lot of coordination to get that done. A lot of details are put into every single thing that you do. But because you're in a momentum, because you're in a flow, where you do a lot of those things are consistent, your attention then is released to pay attention to the new stuff. Now, when you're creating and expanding your reality to something that is grander and bigger, you need to be able to get all those complex pieces lined up there. And at first, there are lots and lots of pieces. And because right now on the planet, this is a time of what we call the light chaos. This is a time where you take all the pieces that have been splattered around, that have been discombobulated from the old, all the destruction of the past, all the leftover pieces of the old that have broken down, that no longer work. You're letting them go. But you're also needing to put new pieces in. And whereas you may not really know where exactly all the gaps are, you do need to make choices about what your pieces are. And so we decided that what we wanted to share with you today is what we call a manifestation made easy checklist. We want you to be able to identify the most significant pieces that you want to put into the foundation, creation, and the matrix that creates this whole new vibrational reality. And you do it by resonance creation. You do it by putting together various frequencies, various energies, various pieces, and interlocking them, interweaving them to create, on all of them, a frequency, to create a whole bundle of frequencies. And this bundle of frequencies forms together a field. Right now, you have a whole bundle of frequencies. Some of them are in conflict with you. Some are smooth. Some are just, but they're all working together to create an overall field. That's your energy field, is filled with all these different frequencies. These are frequencies that one way or another you accepted, you allowed, you chose to be in your field. What you're doing now at this time is so amazing and so significant. Okay, is that you're taking these pieces consciously and placing them and setting up your reality so that your unconscious mind, which is the collective, which is the archetypal mind, can translate your images, your ideas, your choices into physical materialization directly. You working directly as a creator. You also work, of course, with your spiritual team. You have higher aspects of yourself. You have guides, guardians, support systems. You have specific beings who are with you at certain times of your life to help you through certain phases. You're now in this light chaos, putting these pieces together. And in this phase, you have some new friends on the other side that are here to specifically help you in the creation of this new level of yourself, this new level of expression, this new life. This is the new world. We are here even though it still looks like the old world, it is more plastic, it's more malleable, it's more the illusion than it ever has been. And so, your opportunity now is the highest it's ever been. And we say this, the highest it's ever been in your life, but it's also the highest it's ever been to consciously create this whole new reality, consciously manifest. And this is part of your wave of evolution on the planet. This is the highest point so far. This is a pivotal time, a pivotal energy period for you to create. And you are stepping forth as the divine reality creators that you are, taking your conscious awareness to a new level and consciously choosing your pieces. So the checklist that we're putting together are the pieces. So we're going to give you 16 pieces. And so what we suggest is that when you want to create something specific in your life, manifest something specific into your life, or if you just want to expand and improve your life as it is into something way more spiritually fulfilling, emotionally wonderful, joyous, healthy, vibrant, prosperous life, you want to be able to look over at least these 16 pieces. Now, we're not saying there aren't others. But you see, if you get enough of the pieces, the resonance of these frequencies, each piece being its own frequency band, the resonance of these pieces put together will be enough. It'll pass the tipping point. It will shift the morphogenic field. It will shift your whole field into alignment with the new reality. So we spent some time nudging the channel at the computer. Okay, this one. Okay, don't forget this one. So she's typed it up. And we have a list here we're going to refer to, but you have the explanation. You will have it. We will describe each one for you. And then what you'll be able to do, and that is later today, we're going to do then is we're going to take these 16 pieces, put them together in a meditation where you can sink in a new reality into place and get yourself lined up with it and get yourself moving forward. Does that sound good? All right. So the first, we don't have them. The first one is perhaps the most important because it's your end. It's your aim. What you're wanting to manifest, that is your target. That's your goal. That's your aim. Don't nail it down. Don't be too demanding of it. But you want to target it frequency-wise. You want to get the frequency of it. And the frequency of it, and you know the law of attraction, is that you attract to yourself that which is at the level of your frequency. What we are seeing here is that in your first piece you can take this as steps, or you can take it as order, as a sequence of order, but the first one is always the first one, okay? And we say that they are actually very interchangeable because in the process of manifestation, you may be going over multiple pieces at the same time because you'll have several different manifestation processes going on simultaneously, overlapping each other at different points. But the first one is self-image. Now, you know we've talked, have we talked a lot about self-image? We've gone on and on. We have already in our love and healing titles, we have expanding your self-image, becoming the luminous Yuma. You know, lifting your self-image, expanding, lifting, being more, seeing who you are more. And that is really your spiritual path, as we have mentioned before. Your spiritual path is you to become one with God. God is all that is. That doesn't mean you are at the level of consciousness that God, Goddess, all that is right now, but you will come to a place to where you acknowledge who you are as divine yourself and really own it, and really own that you are a divine reality creator, and you sit upon the throne of yourself. You become consciously one with soul. And through there, you can see and connect directly with God, Goddess, all that is. Now you can call God, Goddess, all that is in. You can call the Goddess in. You can call anyone in. You can call, you know, great sages and seers of the past. You can call in Jesus. You can call in whoever you wish. But you're not one with them. That doesn't mean that you are on a level analogous to them. However, God, Goddess, all that is, and all the ascended masters want a personal relationship with you. They want it. And they can have a personal relationship with you because they are not local, which means they have no limitations in space-time, and they can be everywhere all at once. You chose to go within space-time to give yourself the illusion of speed so that you could do your evolutionary path ASAP. Because if you were to kind of look at time on the other planes, it's infinite, forever. Always, now, there is no sense of time. There's no sense of process. There's no sense of putting all the pieces and moving forward. You wanted that, all right? So that's why we're going to give that to you. But the first thing you need to do is hold your resonance. You need to own that you are a spiritual being. And one of the ways you can do that is every day you can go look in the mirror at yourself and say, I acknowledge who you are. I love you. You are a divine being who is now having a physical body experience. You were born to manifest. You want to expand your own personal resonance. This is the biggest piece, perhaps. And as we said before, and this is number two, you have desire and motivation. Desire motivates you. You know, you could be lying around feeling very apathetic, sleepy, whatever. But if you get a desire in mind, yeah, I want to do that, suddenly you have energy. Oh, okay. And you get up and you do it. So your desire can plug in to your motivation, and when you're motivated, you have energy. It's like the universe will mobilize with you. Now, even if you have chronic fatigue, which is a chronic motivational problem, when you're looking at the etheric or the energetic levels, you will still have more energy if you're correctly motivated and correctly desiring. And by correctly, we mean that's true to you. If you're motivated out of, out of what necessity, of what you think you must do or have to do, or what other people are expecting you to do and you're obligated to do, if you're in that state, you're not going to have as much energy, because that's requiring you to put out energy towards a motivation and a desire that may not be really authentically yours. But when you're authentic to yourself, then you have energy. If that desire to serve others is authentic, if it makes you absolutely happy up the wazoo to help somebody, not expecting rewards or a whole bunch of appreciation and gratitude and so on, you don't. If you're doing it out of service, out of love, and not as an exchange, and not earning something, your motivation is clean. But very few people are really that good at having clean motivation in service. A lot of people's motivations are twisted because they're looking for security, safety, security. And they're saying, if I could just get safe and secure, okay, everything then will be all right. I'll be able then to do what I want to do. But I've got to first nail down this security. I got to figure out this money thing, or this health thing, or I've got to this relationship thing, or this whatever it is. This is my circumstances, and if I can just do that, I'll be fine. Now, we've talked many times about the inner slave driver. The inner slave driver was installed sometime in your 20s. And this part of your inner self is your ambition as it is created negatively. So all those duties and obligations, all the guilt that would come if you didn't do them, all the fear that would come if you didn't do them and suffered some consequence of that, all the necessity that you feel absolutely pressured to do, the slave driver is the one who pushes you and motivates you incorrectly. It motivates you from the collective. It motivates you from the fear of being shamed, ridiculed, rejected, hurt. It will shame you. It will do whatever it needs to do to get you up off your butt and do your duties and obligations, or to fulfill some kind of dream that you had there in your 20s, where you decided, okay, this is what will make me happy. You know, the house with the like little picket fence, two-car driveway. And this must be a big issue for people. We only cough when there's a big issue going on. Okay, let's cough it out for you, okay? All right. So your motivation is critical. But you have the desire. You always have the desire. You want more. You always desire better. You always want to move forward. It just comes with the territory. So you want to make sure that the slave driver isn't running your life, because the slave driver will make you martyr yourself, sacrifice yourself, lay down your life for people, and not get any reward for it, be filled with anger and rage, and then your ego, your negative ego, will come in and feed on your rage and your anger and your powerlessness. It's a nasty cycle. So we generally recommend cleaning out the slave driver. And that's why in our Love and Healing series, possibly one of the most popular titles we have in that series is Firing Your Inner Slave Driver. Okay, so because the inner slave driver can kill you. It can kill you from overwork. It can keep driving you till you drop. And then it will still tell you, you haven't done enough. How do you motivate yourself that way? You have to whip yourself into it. You have to goad yourself. You have to scare yourself into it. So you got to let that go. Instead, your motivation needs to be clean. And your motivation is for more love, for more freedom, for more empowerment, and more connection with the divine. You are motivated for that, intrinsically, naturally. So when you are thinking about manifesting, you desire something, you need to be able to be motivated for that manifestation correctly, cleanly, truthfully, authentically. Number three is imagination. This may also be just about the most important part, because nothing can come into being, into materializing in your 3D world if you cannot imagine it. If it's beyond your imagination, it simply cannot happen. Now, the only time that something like that happens is when a miracle occurs. A miracle is a momentary transcendence beyond the limitations of time and space, beyond the limitations of cause and effect, outside all those collective boundaries that everyone thinks are so real. That is where the miraculous happens. But you see, you're capable of imagining the miraculous. Sometimes a miracle will come to you because you are moving in a direction and you're acquiring assistance from your unseen friends, from your spiritual team, that require kind of overriding your limitations in belief and imagination to give you a leg up, so to speak, because miracles very often will change people's lives and open them up to greater levels of imagination. Now, when you imagine, you want to dream. You want to be free in your imagination. You want to play with your imagination. And sometimes this is hard for people to do because you've been trained in your imagination to imagine the problems that will come up. Well, let's make sure that we've got all the obstacles taken care of. And so let's just imagine all the obstacles. And we'll take care of all those obstacles. And then the future will take care of itself. And as we pointed out many times, that does not happen. You need to imagine the future. You need to fantasize. Now, we're not talking about 2D fantasies like, if only I had, $1 million. Oh, my life would be just fine if I just had more money, if I just had a relationship, if I just had this, or if I just had that. My life would be fine. So the fantasy then is a kind of a 2D fantasy. It doesn't have real depth. Basically, you have that security or that nice little place, that little secure spot in your psyche, and you go there and you go, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. Now, winning the lottery is one of those things. So it's no wonder that so few people win the lottery. It's just one of those things that you fantasize about winning the lottery, but it doesn't have that much meaning because it's just simply a fear-based imagination. It's like, if I could get rid of all the fear and I could feel safe and secure, and then you think something is going to enable you to get there. Some form is going to be there, the relationship or the lottery winnings or whatever it is. Those are 2D fantasies. You can start there if you want, but please move on. Because if you go there, nothing's going to happen in your external world. Nothing. It's not going to make you any closer. If you're imagining yourself winning the lottery, it's not going to make you any closer to winning money or being wealthier or anything. It's a place where you numb out. You've got to tell the difference in your imagination. Your imagination needs to be rich, full. It needs to have complexity, not complications, okay? Complexity. It needs to be full and have all sorts of wonderful pieces in it. So we would suggest that you just play, you know, what would it look like if all your desires of betterment, of a better life, what would it look like if all those were coming into being? What would you do? How would you respond? What would you do with that? It's like this experiment that was made years ago in Canada, where they took this one town, they selected a town, and they gave everybody a basic income. They gave people money, just gave it to them, no strings attached. And they watched what the people did with it. And to their amazement, the people were absolutely not lazy bums, didn't sit around and watch TV all day. They got excited. They spent more time with the community. They did more volunteer projects. They started businesses. They got more education. Everything started to pick up, and that town turned prosperous. So that was just an amazing discovery. You just give them a little more money, and they go for it. So it's the same kind of thing. Okay, so what if you do get some of that extra money? What would you do with it? Now, what would be your motivation? So some people say, well, if I win the lottery, I'm going to set up a foundation. I'm going to be this very generous person. I'm going to contribute to this. I'm going to work on this issue. I'm going to support this on the grand scheme. But what we want to suggest is instead to look at your life personally. First of all, keep it to yourself first. Then you have the resource to step up and give in a greater way. Because love and compassion is what you're going to end up giving to the world anyway. But this is about manifestation. Don't go grand first. Go grand. Go microcosm first. Go for you. Okay. Now, number four is form. What form do you want your desires and manifestations to appear in? What's the materialization going to look like? Most people say, well, I want a house. I want this, you know, an art studio for myself. I want my dream job. I want a lover. I want a healing. Okay, so that's the form. Look at the form that you think is going to be something that's going to make you happy, something that's going to be grand for you. Now, most people are trained to look to the form. No problem there. So you just look at what forms will it take? What forms will your manifestation take? Maybe start a business? Okay. So see yourself in doing that business. You imagine yourself doing that. Okay. Here's that business. Okay. That business will do what for you? What is it doing for you? What does it provide for you? What's the form provide for you? Money? Just money? It's got to be more than that, because then your motivation's screwed. You see, if your motivation is just for money, money is a symptom of what it is you want. Now, it's not what you really want. You don't really want money. You don't really care a damn bit about money, really. It's just an energy of exchange. What you're interested in is maybe what money can buy. Maybe you want that form. So think about that form without thinking about the money per se. For example, if you want to put together a business, a new business, okay, think about the business. Don't think about, well, this business is not going to make any money, so I better think up a business that will make money. I'll have to do this that will make money for people. It's like, okay, I'll do this. Oh, here's a great opportunity, and this is great service, and this does great things for humanity. Yay, yay. This is going to be a great thing, and so on. Now, what if you actually get into it? You may find, but wait a minute. This is some kind of grand gift to humanity, and on a day-to-day motivational level, this is not my full passion. It's a great thing, but it's not my passion. We're serving all the children of the world, or we're serving the environment and so on, but somehow or another, I can't keep my motivation up. When the business doesn't seem to go anywhere, when it seems to start dropping or whatever it is, and if there's a setback or you're not making money from it, if it's not your true vision, if it's not your true passion, if it's not your true dream, you don't have the right motivation for it. You cannot manifest it. And it means that you were wanting to do something really good, but really you just wanted that money. And that blows it. So don't go there, all right? So, but you want to find out what the form is that you think will make you happy, that you think will fulfill you, that you're looking for that symptomology, not the money, okay? You're looking for what the money would buy, all right? So that's a form. Number five is the function. Now, the function is actually way more important than the form. The function is, what are the feelings, the thoughts, the experience that you get when you achieve the form? If you get that house and you move, I am my new house, and you move into the house and so on. Okay. Now, what is it that you think, okay, that'll make me happy? So go into detail on that happiness. What are the feelings you'll have? Make sure these feelings that you'll have are not some kind of ego thing. Okay, I did it. Yes, me, I did it. Or that, okay, finally, I'll have security. Finally, I'll be safe and secure. Those are not correct motivations. You want to experience what is the happiness itself? What is the fulfillment itself? What does it bring? Does it bring a sense of joy? Does it an excitement, an enthusiasm about what? For example, the channel in Daniel are probably going to buy a house, and one of the criteria they have for that house is that there are some big trees in the yard, and there's a place to garden. That's going to be important for them. So that house is going to be their little paradise where they can tend their plants, where they can love their trees, where they can belong in their garden. That just blisses them out. Okay. So that's something that you want to think about. What is it that you want? If you get that lover, you're going to feel that love. You're going to be able to give that love. You're going to have that intimacy, that sharing. Oh, the bliss of that. That's what you're after, not the person per se. You understand? You want to make sure that you understand what the function is and the purpose of that form that you're looking for, okay? Because, you see, when you actually manifest, when things start to materialize, what you're going to get in your manifestation program is you're going to get the function. This is what you're really manifesting. The form is just the symptom of the function. The function is what you're going to get. So what state of being are you after with that particular form? That's the function. All right. So the function is the actual manifestation. And the form is the symptom of that. Like money is a symptom. It's not the actual goal itself. Okay. Number six is the ideal. Now, this is your directional beacon, the ideal. What do you ideally want? Where are you going ideally? What manifestations and materializations do you want ideally? When you set up your ideal, you set up your direction. You know what direction you're going in. Now, the ideal is ideal. It's not real. It's not really going to manifest as such. All it does is give you a resonance connection into the future. So you got that peace in the future. Okay, that's the feeling. Yeah, that's it. And I want it just so beautiful and so perfect and so wonderful and so fabulous. And, yes, that's the ideal. You're going to get some of it. But generally, the ideal comes with perfect form. And the universe is a little more creative than that, if you've noticed. Okay? So, but that ideal that lifts you, that inspires you, that moves you. So the ideal is very important to set up. Now, in order to get towards the ideal and move towards the ideal is like the sea, and you are standing at the headwaters of the river. And the river flows the energies and moves to the sea. The river needs banks. It needs a sense of boundary. And what are your boundaries? Your boundaries are your choice guidelines. You're a powerful being. You are here by free will. Choice is your greatest power and capacity. Is choice. You can choose consciously. Okay? But you need to have guidelines, boundaries, of what you choose. You're not going to just go towards this great ideal and choose something that's way over here or way, way, way over there. You're going to find something. You're going to choose that which will take you closer and closer and hone in the energies of that ideal for you. And what that means is that when you make choices, what are the parameters of your choice? For example, one of the parameters could be empowerment. We've talked many times about the foundation of your reality, of your new self, of your new world reality as being freedom, love, empowerment, and trusting the divine, relying on the divine. And so one of those four very easily could be something that you feel strongly is that when you come to making a decision between one option and another option, you're going to go with the one that, for example, gives you more power. You can do that with freedom of this option or this option. Which option gives you more freedom to be who you are? This option or this option, you can use other ones. Which one offers you more creativity? This one or this one, which one offers you more adventure? What is so important to you that you will make choices according to it? Those are your principles of choice, your principles of action. And so that's why principles are very important. They're the boundaries. In these principles, you find your priorities and you need, since you have the banks of a river, you need at least two principles and you need preferences within that. Like, what do you prefer? Do you prefer this way or that way? maybe you don't really need to choose either one. You don't need to eliminate one in order to have another one. And, or maybe you're not even too sure about which choice to make. They all both seem pretty good, but you might have a slight preference. And so you determine your preference. This also creates directional boundary flow. You know, when you have water flowing through a pipe, if the pipe is really wide, really, really big diameter, the water can flow very gently. But as it gets narrower and narrower, the water, it gets more forced, gets and pushes more and can get and has to work harder in a sense. When you start, your pipe is pretty wide, your river is pretty wide. But, and unlike nature, you know, it basically by the time you reach the ocean, it's very narrow. It's focused. Boom, you got it. So in a sense, you want to continuously hone your principles. Now, you may say, wait a minute, Galexis, this isn't easy. Well, you said manifestation made easy. This is hard. Well, what we're saying here is this, is that if you'll go over these 16 pieces and do a little processing on each one of them, it doesn't take all that long, but you have to feel and think and feel and think. When you're feeling and thinking and figuring them out, you're already tuning up your vibratory resonance. You're already building your resonance field. It's going to make it then, once you've done that, it's going to make it far easier. Then the manifestation can come easily. It can come magically, fluidly, elegantly. But sometimes you just need to get yourself clear. This is part of building your consciousness. Okay. Now, number 7 is significance and importance. This is ego, evaluation of ego. Now, the ego piece is this. Your ego is essentially the one who sustains a boundary between self and other, between what's inside and what's outside. It's also a boundary. You just want to make sure, though, that your ego hasn't taken over your identity or your sense of yourself. You want to make sure that you're seeing yourself as a divine being isn't some kind of, you know, puffed up important position on the planet, because I am so divine, I'm better than other people. Because I am so divine, I have a greater mission to achieve than other people. Or the ego also does comparisons the other way. The ego can be, okay, I'm divine. I'm here as a doormat to serve. Okay, I am divine, and that means I have to sacrifice this life to the world. You know, people have rationales for these things, but those are ego pieces. And now you need to make sure that what you are wanting to manifest is not overly significant. So you want to make sure that what you're manifesting is definitely at a level of which is natural and normal and easy for you. The ego wants it to have tremendous significance and importance and will put a lot of weight on it. Now, if it's something that you want to manifest out of extreme necessity in a hurry, the ego takes all over that, and it's, you've noticed that you don't manifest too well under those situations. If you are under tremendous duress, under crisis, and you need money fast to survive, don't do the manifestation process. Yeah, you can do it, but what you need to do is to go out and get a job or do something. You need to take action in the short term, in the immediate term. What we're talking about, manifestation made easy, is that you don't need it to be. It works best, in other words, when it's not urgent. when it's not extremely important and urgent. Necessity, urgent necessity, survival. You want to get out of survival. That's like that root chakra stuff. You want to manifestation consciously is not going to be a root chakra thing. It's going to be a heart chakra thing. Okay. Now, when you achieve something, you don't give it to your ego either. I did it. I figured it out. I put it all together. No, you go into gratitude for your team, for the opportunity. You remain, in a sense, humble, but not ego humble. Look how humble I am. We know people who just, oh, I am just so humble. You just want to laugh. And of course, they don't think they're being egotistical. Ego sneaky that way. All right. Number 8, choice, power, intention, will. This is your determinant. You need to make choice of what you prefer, of what you want. Don't make fear-based choices. Make love-based choices. Make self-based choices. Make authentic choices. And you keep, there are going to be many choice points along the way in a process, in a manifestation. New stuff's going to come up. You have to make decisions about stuff. You have to choose about this and that. But you have to remember that your will and your intention is that what the function is that you have chosen to manifest. It will come. You will not waver on that. But you want to set that up. Now, you'll continue that, but that's the setup. Number 9. 9 is where most people spend their time, most spiritual people. Number 9 is letting go of the old limiting past, inner habits, unhealed stuff, traumas, old identities, knee-jerk, automatic, instinctive responses, self-criticisms and blame, limiting beliefs, and negative ego self-deceptions, insecurities, fears, worries, neediness, all your younger selves, your inner child unfulfilled and crying, your adolescent self pouting, your young adult being driven, all that, and all that kind of stuff. You'll need now to let your old self just die. Let it go. Let the old self go. Yes, continue to process out what you need, but that's not going to be the secret of manifesting. Most people think it is. Well, we'll get rid of all the debris. Yes, it's very good too, and we recommend it highly to get rid of all this debris, all the burdens, all the loads, all the obstacles, all the pain and suffering of the past, and all the old identity connections and everything. Yes, it's great. But when you're manifesting, you've got to point blank say, okay, I'm going to be this new person. I'm going to let it go. And you forgive yourself. You forgive yourself for all that crazy stuff you did, wandering off your path, doing stupid stuff, holding angers over long periods of time, judgments, blame, hostilities, all sorts of crazy stuff. You forgive yourself for all of that and forgive anybody else that was involved in your life with that. Get a clean slate. Forgiveness cleans karma. So if you believe in karma, you want to do a heck of a lot of forgiveness. You can do Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian method of spiritual cleansing. And I love you. I forgive you. Please forgive me. These kinds of things. Just cleanse, clean. You can do something briefly every time you initiate a manifestation. And we have in our Love and Healing library online, we have quite a few seminars on details and specifics of that if you want to go deeper in that. Number 10, connect with your divine team. They're here for you. Your higher self is always here and ready for you. If you're not conscious, your higher self is off, is like just keeps a, okay, well, we'll just keep a monitor on that. But your higher self has a whole, or overso, has a whole bunch of lifetimes to look at. And when you decide to become conscious, higher self says, oh, you called? Yeah, you. This is the one that's going home. This is the one that's completing the project. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so you want to connect with your higher self. You want to connect with your guides. You want to connect with your friendly personified reality. Just imagine your reality, your personal universe, as if it were a guide, and work with it. Your universe is friendly, loves you. You've been taught to believe it's a scary place. So give yourself the opportunity to connect. And connect to the greater self within you, the self you're becoming. Connect with your team. And there's going to be a lot on your team. There's generally anywhere from 30 to 70 on your basic team. And a lot of people go, what? All that many? Because, you know, we have people who talk to us in private sessions and they say, will you introduce me and tell me about my guide? As if there's only one. It's like, well, we have to break the news to you. Right at the moment, you have like 46 with you. Okay. So the way to do that is to really connect, learn how to connect with them. You can get their names. You can get their energies, you can start to work with them. And even if you don't do that, you can call them in, and we'll be doing that later on, but you'll be calling them in a group, and you'll feel the loving support and resonance of them. And you can allow that to activate and energize your manifestation. And they want you to manifest. They're there to help you manifest. And again, if you're not motivated from the correct place, or if you get stuck in ego, they cannot help you. They will not let you manipulate them or let your ego manipulate them. They will not come and rescue you if you're whining like a child. Oh, poor me, please come rescue me. They say, oh, gosh, we would love to. But if we did that, then you would think all your self-pity was successful strategy. We can't let you do that. We love you too much. We want you to step into your power and own who you are. Then we can help you. So the connection with your divine team is very key for being able to allow yourself the greatness of your own life, of your own manifestation. Number 11, your physical plane channel through which you receive. And there may be more than one. When we talk to people about manifesting in private sessions, we ask them, well, what is your channel for it? What channel through which can you allow your money to come through? And how do you open up? How about your channel for a relationship? How about, you know, where do you open up to receive this? What is the way that it opens up? If it's like a money, you know, you need to have a job, something that has a channel through which it is logical and believable that money can just come through and that maybe you can get more money through this. A lot of people who do a lot of financial counseling will say you need, you know, if you're going to really make some good income, you need like 3 or 4 income channels. And if you have multiple income channels, then you can tweak them and some will start pulling and this will have more. And then you can work on that one, bring that one up, and you can work with them and you have greater opportunity to expand your prosperity. And similarly, if you are wanting healing of a condition, of an illness or something like that, what channel are you going to use? Or like people who have cancer, are they going to use alternative methods? Are they going to use straight medical cut, poison, burn method? Are they going to use a mixture? Are they going to use this or that? And what are they willing to receive through there? Because when you get up your channel, your channels of receiving, you've got to be willing to receive through those channels. If you feel that if you receive through those channels, that what you receive may not be what you want, and therefore you're afraid to receive through those channels, they will remain closed. You've got to really allow those channels to open. And one of the things that we do in the one of the seminars we've given has been about the receiving room, the abundance. Let's see, what did we call that?
Money magic.
Money magic? Did we do the receiving room meditation? And all right, good. Okay. So money magic, it was originally, we put it out in the Bountiful Universe title. But whatever, you can open up and open up the channels and get the channels open and really allow yourself to receive. But you got to get the channel set up. If you don't have a channel for receiving what you want, because you're not going to earn it, you're going to receive it. That's what makes manifestation easy. You'll never be able to earn whatever it is you want. You can't ever do that. That's a manipulation. That puts you into entitlement. Your guides will not support you. If you think you can earn by building points and then you deserve, okay, I have done all this work. Now I deserve, this is the time, I deserve to have it happen now. Your guides are there chuckling, okay? Like, okay, maybe you'll wake up next time. You know, we hope. So you want to really understand that setting up a channel and opening it to receive, there's a certain willingness to really allow that to be. And if you don't have a channel or two, then we would recommend your manifestation process first be for the channel, to get the channel going. You got to have the channel going. If you want the whole process, you've got to have the channel already ready. Then you do the whole manifestation, and whoa, then you can really move forward. But if you don't have that, you've got to do that one first as your first manifestation. Okay. Number 12 is an action plan, which follows on this setting up your channel. And that is that once you have your channel, there's steps that you want to take. For example, if you want to meet somebody new, you want to go to places where you would have an opportunity to meet them. It's not like, you're wanting you want a cute guy to show up into your life and sweep you off your feet, and you're sitting at home and the knock is on the door and it's a pizza guy delivering a pizza. Is that the way you want to manifest it? It doesn't tend to work that way. He's not going to show up at your door necessarily. It's very, very rare that that ever happens. So what you want to do is to say, okay, I'm going to do the dance. And what's the dance? The dance is getting the energy going, sparking the energy on the physical plane. Just recently, the channel and Daniel's washing machine began to break down. So they decide, okay, we've got to get a new washer. And so they went around and looked at washers and so on and scoured the internet looking at washers and this feature and that feature and so on and driving around talking to people and doing this. That's the energy that initiates the flow, okay? It's doing the dance. It may be frustrating because nothing seems to happen. Nothing seems to happen. This is a dead end. Okay, that's a dead end. And da, 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 you keep going and figuring it out. But that's the dance. It's like a dance. Da, 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 da. I'm going to get the energy going. I'm going to move, get moving. I'm going to get moving. Now, once you move after a while, though, it starts to hone down. The channel had an idea of a piece of clothing that she really, really wanted. And this was years ago before before hoodies. Let's see, she's wearing a hoodie right now. But they didn't have hoodies in the old days. But guys had hoodies. And that was like a
a sports, in the sports departments, you know, was, guys would have, you know, their sweatshirt kind of thing with a hood. She said, I've got to get one. I want to get one. And so she goes out and she goes here and they don't have anything. And she goes there and they don't have anything. And the third time she goes, there it is, exactly how she envisioned it. Well, you may say, well, why doesn't she, you know, why isn't it elegant to go there first? Well, she had to get the energy in place so that the guides would know what she wanted. If you reach a dead end, like the channel and Daniel did with the washers, if you reach a dead end, that gives the guides information, no, this isn't what you want. Okay? And so as the energy gets moving, it's like the river is going. Okay? And so then the channel and Daniel went over to a Home Depot. Pfft, there it was. But they had to do the dance first. You know, if you want to have a relationship, you want to go to some meetup groups. Maybe you just want to get out and connect with people. Just connect more, volunteer, do something just to connect with people and open yourself up and say, look, reality, I'm available. You know, I'm out here in the public. Coordinate with me here. You know, get that person in the same space time with me. That's sometimes how it works. Or sometimes magically, always how it works. So you want to move and do the dance. And that's part of your action plan, is number 12. The action plan is actually what you think you want to do and what dance you choose to do. Okay? And get things started. If you're starting a business, of course you want to give out free samples, you want to network, you want to market, and so on. Number 13, expect and know. An expectation is huge. Most people are very weak on this because they put everything out and then they, oh, I hope it happens. Oh, please, please, please let it happen. Oh, please. And really what you got to know is that you as a divine being, conscious reality creator, you got to say, this is going to happen. It is going to happen. Absolutely is going to happen. And you start looking for the magic. You start looking for it. You start looking for it. Oh, I know it's there. I know it's there somewhere. Where is it? Where's the magic? I know the magic's here. I know this. I know it's coming. I know it's there. Where is? Let me see. What's going to open up? What synchronicity is going to drop in place? What interesting circumstance is going to bring it to me? If you can get into that curious mode, you can find yourself being really, really happy. You can find yourself having so much fun. All right. The thing is, the more that you allow yourself to know, and we say gut level knowing, that what you have chosen to manifest and to materialize, that it will happen, that the function of that materialization, the function that you have chosen, will come to be. That's real. Keep imagining it. Keep being there. Keep connecting to it. Earlier this year, we did a meditation in the seminar of working, co-creating with your future self. And if you keep working with your future self, it's going to feel realer and realer and realer. And when it feels really real, then you're going to find, aha, all right, it's going to start happening. But the more that you know, the easier it will go. You see, you don't want to make all these steps hard. You want to just go through the steps. Don't take it personally if it requires some thought on your part. Everybody is lazy. They even found that geniuses, math geniuses, would rather not do simple math calculations at the supermarket. It's like there's this kind of inbuilt mental laziness in everybody. So don't think that, oh gosh, this is so much work. It's all just kind of, okay, I'm just going to do it. You'll find that the more that you do, the easier it gets, until finally you put the pieces together, boop, 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 and the energy starts moving. Then it's easy. And that's number 14. You energize your momentum. You energize your flow. Now, we talked about flow a little bit back with the action plan, because that's where you initiate the flow. That's where you initiate action and you start moving the energies. But 14, it's about you move the energies, you get things going, but you keep them up. You sustain the energy movement forward. You'll feel it. There, it takes a while to get a momentum in going, but once you have a momentum, it's right there for you. Like, for example, the channel was an astrologer. She was a well-known international astrologer. And she was very busy. She had a busy practice. But when she first built it, it took a while to get the momentum up. But once she got a momentum up, a certain amount of money per week, she could just expect it. She could just, that even if she went into that week and there was hardly any bookings, she just knew that it'd come in and she'd get that amount of money. It was just momentum. And then sometimes she's like, oh, I'm working too much. I'm too busy. And then all business would just drop out. And she'd go, oh, I can rest a while. And then you go, oh, I'm ready to get back in. The phone rings. People want appointments. You get to a place to where your momentum just absolutely works for you. And so now, once you get a momentum going, there'll be places that we call the test. And we've talked to most all of you about that. And we've taken people through it in individual sessions and seminars. The test is that as you start moving into this new automatic level, the subconscious mind, which is the one that continues everything automatically, will say, well, wait a minute, this is not your automatic path. This is not what you normally do. Are you really sure you want to do it this way? Don't you want to do it the way you used to? Don't you want to feel the self-pity? Don't you want to feel the frustration? Don't you want to go through the resistance the way you used to? And so the subconscious mind will bring up a scenario that will tremendously resemble past scenarios in which you didn't do all that well. Scenarios that were the old habits, the old patterns that fell apart. Oh, okay. And then if you go and respond to it the familiar knee-jerk way, you've just lost. You didn't pass the test. You went back into a smaller self. You shrunk back into your older self, or previous self, that was not as conscious. You're reacting. Okay. Now, you can always turn it around and say, oh my gosh, look what I did. I forgive myself. I'm willing to, let me move forward. Let me choose this new greater self, expand my self-image. Let me move forward. And if you do that, you can get back into the flow and you can get your momentum going back up. So to keep a momentum going, our recommendation is to regularly expand your self-image. Because the more you grow, the more you need to expand your self-image to contain the larger and more expanded reality that is happening. So don't get discouraged. Just keep moving forward. Expand your self-image. And you'll find that the momentum will kick in at some point. And then things really flow nicely and magically. Number 15 is the big picture. Part of the process of manifestation is that the universe works with you. You make some movement forward. The universe gives you some feedback. You take that feedback, you evaluate it, and you make decisions about it and shift if you want to, and then move forward some more. Then you get more feedback and so on. It's a learning cycle. You initiate some action, and then the universe responds. The environment responds, something happens, and then you go, okay, here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to do it. And you make your choice, and then you move forward again. This continuously goes throughout your life. In everything, If you just look at your life, it's everywhere. It's in everything. Okay. So you want to see that this is just part of your soul path. This is part of you learning who you are. This is, don't take it personally if there's a setback. Don't get angry that the universe is not supporting you. Look at, instead, say, you know, what is this feedback? What do I need to do about it? How do I need to evaluate it? How do I stay in my greater self? How do I stay in my light being self while I'm doing this? Okay. And so get the omens, get the messages, get the whispers, the ideas, the intuitional hits. Pay attention to what those little messages, those little quiet messages are. They're coming from your soul. They're coming from your guides. Get in tune, get in touch, move along. You're like part of a spiritual family, and you're all in the project together, and you're the team leader. So, you know, they want to give you the feedback and they want to support you, but you're the one making the choices. Don't take it personally. Don't think that the universe is thwarting you. Don't think that that you're a victim at any point. You are never, ever a victim. Ever. You're never a victim. We want to emphasize that. Never. Don't let yourself fall into that mode. Don't take it personally like this is some attack. You're not being attacked. It's your ego may feel like you're attacked. Your ego may feel put upon. Your ego may feel that the universe is being mean to you. Or that other people are really doing it to you. Your ego is going to get all bent out of shape. But you can let that go and recognize, wait a minute, this is interesting feedback showing me that in my past, when I had setbacks before, I really gave all my power to my negative ego. Let me take my power back from my negative ego. Let me just restore the ego down to that boundary and translator between the boundary, between the outer and the inner. Let me just put it back there and let it just do its job. And not be my identity anymore. And you're going to feel so much freer and lighter, and everything's going to go so much more easily. And then, of course, as you're on this track, you're owning more and more of your divine nature. And when you own your divine nature, what it means is that you're feeling more love. You're able to give more love. You're able to give more love to the world. You're able to send compassion to the world. When people are suffering out there, you have compassion for them. You don't take it on. You're not going to, like some empaths are overloading themselves with the burdens and worries and anxieties and tensions and stresses of the world. Don't do that. Send compassion. And if you really are wanting to own your divine nature, send a vision of the healing. Send a vision of what can be. Send a vision of the future to every problem that comes from the world. You can do that. You're doing it for yourself personally. You can do it for the world. And so you are a co-creator and head of your team. Don't forget that one. And finally, and this is one that really keeps the energies going. And this is being grateful. Have gratitude. Be thankful. Your physical lifetime is an extraordinary gift. The time that you spend in the physical body is a gift. It is an exquisite, beautiful experience. Even if you may be suffering and going through all the Sturm und Drang and all the inner churnings and changes and whatever. It's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. Be grateful for that. Be grateful for the opportunity to become conscious. Because at this time, this is the time that you're lifting out of the muck and the mire of birth and death cycle. This is a time of your freedom, of your ascension, of your evolution. And be grateful for this life. You're probably wrapping up tremendous amounts of difficulties from other lifetimes. This is a wrapping up lifetime. That's why sometimes it may seem to be even more stubbornly difficult. You know, it's like, well, if I have all this good karma that for me to be, you know, enlightened and ascend and complete the birth and death, why aren't I rich? Why don't I have the perfect family? It's not in the form, you understand? It's really in your consciousness. Some of the most advanced people on the planet are extremely poor. Some are wealthy, but most are poor. If you're going to compare between those who are wealthy, there's very few who are wealthy. What was it that Jesus said? It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for, what is it? A camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Mm-hmm. And that's ego. And your culture is so built up on achievement and money and ego and power over and all that kind of stuff. Don't get confused with that stuff. That's toxic masculine crap. And it's going to go, and you've got to first get it out of yourself. You can't let that influence you anymore. So be grateful that you have what you have. You have enough, and your guides are supporting you and let you have enough. Stay out of victim, expand your image, own who you are, and all will be well. Know that all is going according to plan, and all will turn out well. Keep reminding yourself of that. Keep telling yourself that all is going according to plan, and it will all turn out well. All right. So those are the 16 points, the 16 pieces. As we said, there are other pieces, but we sense that if you get these 16 and you do processing on all of them so that your energy is moving on all of them, so you're opening up and expanding on all 16, you may have to go through several days of work initially, but once you kind of get it, you can just use this as a checklist and just say, okay, where am I at with form? Okay, where am I at with choice? Where am I? And you can use it as feedback for yourself to see where you are in your manifestation program. And if your manifestations, if the energy flow tends to block up and you get a setback or something, go over the list. You'll find it. You know, some of you who know how to use a pendulum or muscle test yourself, well, once you work it a little bit, then and you find a problem showing up, you can muscle test and find out which number it is. And then you can go and do a release on it. You'll be amazed at how elegant this is compared to what most people go through. When a problem comes up, they go, oh my God, what is it now? Go back all through my childhood again or whatever. And you don't want to have to do that anymore. You can just find out which one it is and go for it. Sometimes it's just that you haven't acknowledged that you're divine today. Oh, it could be that easy. See, the whole idea here is that once you get this, you don't have those same kinds of obstacles, and you don't respond to obstacles should they show up the way that you used to. You respond to them as a divine being, as a greater person. And when you do that at a higher level of self-image, valuing and loving yourself more, your reality will respond accordingly. It makes it so much easier. You don't have to sweat it so much. You don't have to push and drive. Never push yourself. Don't push. Don't drive. Relax about it. Enjoy the journey. Don't take it so seriously. And if you follow these 16 points, you get it to the point where, oh, I can let it be natural and normal for me to have it easy. Now, most people, when they think of easy, they think of being kind of, okay, it just happens, and I don't have to be conscious. In fact, consciousness for a lot of people is like a burden. Oh, I have to be conscious. Oh, I'd just rather go out and drink than get drunk tonight. Do I have to be conscious? Look, if you go and you decide to get drunk and so on, choose to do it consciously. Okay? And otherwise, be conscious. Okay? So you can do it. And we know that this can make it easy for you. It can make it natural and normal for you. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a 10-minute break. And after the break, we'll have a few questions. Now, these questions need to be on this topic. We're not going to answer specific personal issues, okay? We're going to talk, we ask you to ask questions that can apply to the process of manifestation, to the work with manifestation. And so we will now, if you will, please, those of you who are present, to be quiet, and we will leave, and the channel will come back, and you will have 10 minutes, and then we will see you again shortly. Thank you.